Dear Jesus, we thank you that you are victorious over sin and death. And we thank you that through faith in what you've done for us, through faith in you, you restore us to life. I pray, Jesus, that in the moments ahead, your Spirit would very clearly speak to our hearts, that our lives would be changed because, Jesus, it's your desire that our faith with you be a living faith, a faith that transforms. I pray your blessing on Solomon, and pray that you would give him the words that you've placed upon his heart, and that you would be an encouragement to him today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, at Hidden Creek, one of the strong values that we have is to pursue biblical justice, which means to help people come into right relationship with God and right relationship with the people around them. And as we've been on this justice journey for the last few years, God has brought unexpected people along our path, and God has used people from far and near to speak encouragement to our lives. On November 6th of 2011, Sky Metawala disappeared. And this morning, Solomon, Sky's dad, is going to share with us his experience over these years and how Christ has sustained him through these really difficult times. Solomon and I met for the first time last year in the spring at the Missing and Exploited Children's event that took place in Tumwater. That event will take place again this coming May, and we'll give you more information about this. Perhaps you've seen the flyers about Sky missing, and you've heard on the news just the anguish that Solomon goes through as he awaits news about his son. We have this flyer and another one available as you go out this morning. They're on our children's church table. And we want to welcome you, Solomon. And it's our desire that Sky would be found and that your family would be incredibly blessed. And so, Solomon, would you come? And you and I are going to spend the next few minutes talking together.
So, shall we just...
Yeah. Well, I do really want to welcome you, and we've been looking forward to this day for some time. And, you know, as I've heard you speak to media and different leaders, what's been, I guess, encouraging to me in spite of the tragic disappearance of your son is that Jesus is the focus of your life, and he's the one who motivates you. So before we jump into some of those questions, can you tell us about your son, Sky?
So Sky, I think since this happened, I think I've gone to a place, though, where I miss him. So whenever I think about him, I think about the times that I miss having him. And the past couple of months, it just be just concentrating of him not being there. You know, there's an empty chair on our, you know, when we eat, when we go out to eat, he's supposed to be there, but he's not. So and that is where that's what I've been thinking about more.
Yeah.
And as Sky himself, he was a great baby. And he's not one of those babies who got up in the middle of the night. He slept the night right away. Just wanted his milk and just wanted to go to bed. He loved to eat. We didn't have problems, you know, running around the house trying to feed your baby. That wasn't, both of them not. Probably got that from me, because I love to eat.
Well, we do too.
Yeah, amen.
I know. Hidden Creek is an eating church.
Yeah. It was nice to have a donut.
There's more if you get back really soon after the end of the service, because there's a mad rush to get the last of the food.
Yeah, no, they say that they're about to order more. I got the good news already.
Oh, good. What so, can you describe Sky's personality?
You know, whenever I think about Sky, I think about his hugs. He had a way to wrap around your neck like nothing else. When when the divorce was happening, so I would give Sky to Julia for a couple of hours, and the way that he hugged me when he left me and when he came back, it has never left me. That same kind of pressure that, you know, when you give a hug. And so that's I think about a lot. He's a very happy child. One of my things that I remember, and my mom always talks about, is my mom and my sister-in-law's mother, they were just they were in the kitchen, you know. And we have a basement, you know. So they were kind of busy, and Sky was just, you know, playing around. He was probably 8 months, 8, 9 months. And they kind of looked around, and they go, where is Sky, you know? So he found himself all the way down in the basement. Oh. So he's a big explorer. One time, I think he probably woke up before me, and my mom took care of him. And when I came up, he was in the pantry, you know. Like there's a box, not a box, but some containers of rice and lentil, you know, had all knocked down, you know, just having a good time. So Sky is, if he was, let's say that, you know, if he was never lost, he would be the kind of boy that if he saw somebody, a child, if he saw a child drop something, he would go pick it up. He would be the child that I've never thought about this, but I think as I'm talking to you guys, God is telling me how he is. And that's why I'm taking lots of deep breaths. He would be a person that, you know, would, if at the playground, you know, he would give you the swing to go to. You know, you go ahead. He would be the boy who let you go down the slide first. So that would be, and who that is Sky.
Well, one of the things that struck me as I was reading through the flyer was that he was 28 pounds. So just a really small, a little guy who, as you said, I'm sure gave really great hugs.
Yeah.
Well, as you've gone through this, what have you discovered about God the Father's love? What have you discovered about a father's love?
You know, as we do know that Jesus, he is the Lord of all. So if he is the Lord of all, he knows firsthand pain of all and the painfulness. As humans, I think, this is my own opinion, we still have a cap off, you know, of pain because God loves us so much. He cannot let us experience all the pain. There is a lot of pain in our life and as we are humans, but I think our God is, he has put a cap on it, on him, on us. But himself, he is the fullness of grace. He is the fullness of love. He is the fullness of his own glory. So he knows pain. So as I go daily, you know, that pain is still there. The pain hasn't left. But then my reminders are, you know, Jesus has never left me. Right. You know, he's always there. And by just living life, you know, talking to people, and his love is there. And so, yeah, does that answer your
question? Yeah. And, you know, for folks that have gone through extreme pain, and I would imagine everybody in this room has gone through a level of pain. When God begins the healing process, we experience his presence in very real ways. And sometimes when we share the story, of our pain. It's almost like the wound has opened up a little bit. And, you know, with any wound, when it gets a little air on it, mm-hmm. you know, it stings. And that we want you to know that we're sensitive to that, and we see you sharing your story today as a gift to us. And so thank you for sharing your pain with us as you talk about God's faithfulness. You know, with the Father's love, I'm reminded of the passage that Pastor Brad mm-hmm. spoke of earlier in Luke 15. And there Jesus talks about three different scenarios where something is lost. There's a lost sheep, there's a lost coin, and a lost son. And at the end of each one of those passages, when that lost thing is found, Jesus says there's rejoicing in heaven. And know that God does carry your pain. And know that too that when Skye is found, there not only will be great rejoicing in your family, but in heaven as well.
Amen.
And so are there times, have there been times over the last years that you've had a sense of hopelessness? And if you experienced hopelessness, how did Jesus meet you at that point of need?
The closest thing I could think of hopelessness, you know, is the emotions. When the 2 year passed this year, I thought that's gonna get easier, you know, because I went through it already one time, you know, but this year was very different. It was like lots of pressure was all around me about Sky not being there, and those emotions, those were big, and it took me, you know, a couple of days to kind of get through it, like and at that point, you know, I had to decide, you know, am I a believer? Am I believing what I read in this love letter from me, you know? And as I chose to keep believing that this love letter is the tool that I need to get through this human emotion, because it's just a feeling that will pass, you know? And that, at that crucial time, what am I going to be thinking about? What am I going to let myself take in, you know? And I'm so blessed that God gave me the opportunity to, I took some time off of work, and I was able, and God also prepared me for that time. And I think 3 months before that, all I did was listen to worship music, day in, day out, day in, day out, you know, all the time. Worship music did not stop with me. So, I mean, we're going to be doing listening to that in eternity, so I'm going to just start now. So I just took myself into worship, you know. When I saw people worshiping the first time, I was just amazed. I go, what is that? And I wanted to know more about that. So I would just do from hymns to songs that make you cry and not want to eat, but that doesn't happen to me, but many other people. I just worship, and in that worship time, you know, Jesus comes. He's here anyway, but he's just there. You know, you don't see him, but he is there. He's holding your heart. He's holding your hand. You know, he gets you around the shoulder. Like, I got you. You know, I know what you're going through, but just keep looking at me. Do not look into your situation, because there's no end. But I'm your peace. I'm the one who can take you through this. I'm the one who can fulfill what we are doing now. So you can look at the past or see how maybe you could have changed it or did something different or do another interview or something. That will never end. But if you look at me, I guarantee you peace. Yeah. And I'm a walking peacer.
Well, how do you think that your situation would have been different if you didn't know Jesus? Using your imagination, what would it have been like without knowing that God is ultimately in control?
Well, if I didn't know Jesus, no one would have known that he's missing. Yes, there's other kids out there that that people do know the Lord. And if they were here, they would have their own story to tell. But without Jesus, no one would have known. You know, I think that's how, and me personally, if I didn't know Jesus, it would be probably, I would live my life just like when the police came to my house at 10:36 a.m. when I was about to eat breakfast. And my life would have just stopped. I mean, I would have walked other places, but my life would have stopped. My thinking would have stopped. My emotions would have stopped. My caring would have stopped. My loving would have stopped. I would just be still.
Can you, this question I didn't write down.
That's okay.
But can you tell us a little bit about the day that Sky disappeared? What were the events leading up to those hours?
Well, it was all stuff from last night, because the night before, because I like to watch lots of old movies, like Frank Sinatra, you know. So, you know, I watched a nice movie at night and just chilled out, and woke up in the morning. I was making my coffee, you know, just getting ready for church. And then I get this knock on the door. Go, who would come? Nobody comes to your door, you know, unless you know when somebody's coming. There was three police officers. And then 10 came later. And they asked me if Sky is there. I go, why would he be here? Then asked me, well, where is he? Then they told me he's lost. And everything stops. You cannot think after that. You know, you can't even. Some people cry right away, but I would just, what do you mean? You know, he's with my Julia. Why would he be here? Why are you looking here? But not knowing that I'm thinking about the present 10:36 a.m., mm-hmm. but this ordeal started 8:45 or 9 o'clock, I think the police called.
The previous night?
No, in the a.m., 9 a.m. And you know, just like on Earth, when we don't know what's going on, we call a lawyer. Yeah. You know, that's the first thing I did. And after the police left, but they searched the whole house. Mm-hmm. And I go, go out, look. I don't mind if you look, you know. And so then 10 other police officers came, and I just sat and they said that, you know, they're gonna get back to me. So I just sat in the same seat. I didn't even move. Then I called my lawyer, and he was pissed. And because I was supposed to see him just in a couple of days. I haven't seen them for over a year because of what the court did and what they planned. Julia planned, you know. So we thought that we had the victory already, and we're just waiting for the moment. So I just sat, and then the second person I called was my dear friend, and I asked her to pray, and she goes, "We will." And I think probably 10 minutes after that, he told me that the whole church prayed, and then I don't really remember. I must have called my brother next. I didn't want to call my mom because, you know, she's my mommy. And then my life turned to a door that no parents wants to open. And but I knew who my Lord is. Mm-hmm. And I know that He makes anything beautiful.
Yeah.
Because He is the Creator.
What role did your church play in helping you work through those walk through those dark days?
Well, they're here, you know, on the 1, 2, 3, 4th row. You know, my dear friend always tells me we're the church. You know, and they did a lot in just couple of days, or maybe the next day. One of my friends, since this happened and it was rapidly going on in the world, and they told me to turn off my Facebook and all those kind of things, and my other friend did that, but I needed to kind of communicate, you know, because I'm going through hell right now. And so my friend, he got all my other 100 friends, and made me a group. Mm-hmm. I was very new to Facebook back then. I had no clue what you can do. I didn't even know how to make an invite. Oh. Right? Was it invite? So you know, this world can bring whatever, yeah. But God's people and God Himself. Just looks and laughs at it. That's what God told me. That's one of the scriptures that He gave me when this happened. When my divorce, when I decided to leave Julia in 2010, you know, the promise that He gave me is Jeremiah 29:11, that He has good thoughts towards me, and He has a purpose for me. So when that was happening. So that kept me alive. And when this happened, God told me, whatever they bring, I just laugh at them. Because who I am, He just laughs at their plans.
Well, and you spoke earlier about how God used worship music to prepare you for what you would go through. And right now, we're in this period of waiting. There aren't a whole lot of ideas about where Sky is at, and we're waiting to get more information. And you as a father, like the father in Luke chapter 15, I'm sure, you're always looking and waiting and longing for your son to be with you. You mentioned your church. Are there some other elements, other pieces that God is using to hold you up in this time of waiting?
To hold me up. Do you mean by like different agencies?
Well, like, or like just or, spirit. How does God give you His peace, and how does He continue to comfort you? Yeah, through God's word.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's all I want. There could be more needs I can probably have, but this is what I want. And when I want this. And what I believe was in here, everything else is very important, yeah. You know, but becomes a little secondary, right. Because I'm made whole by this. I'm made whole by what happened on the cross, and that was that. What happened on the cross really fulfilled me. Even before I didn't know Jesus, I didn't even know what the cross was, but I saw people wore it. I knew it was a religious symbol, but I didn't know what it was, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
How did you come to faith in Jesus?
I started to started to go to church, and also went to the mosque. But when I saw, of course, the sermons were great, but something about worship, you know, being what happens in heaven, you know, and it's been going on, and us as just humans we get to partake in exactly what's happening in heaven, and I saw something that I'd never seen before, and I saw it was she must have been 7 or 8 years old, and she was fully engaged in God's presence. I just didn't know what that even was, but it was very attractive, and I wanted it, and I kept on wondering what that was, and then one day I just, you know, is Jesus the truth, or what I was doing the truth? And I had such great peace knowing that Jesus is the truth, and he is the life, and he is our love. And because God has made all these things out of his love, but he has made us. And just God taking the time, because he spoke everything into existence, mm-hmm. you know, but he took the time to make us. Mm-hmm. He took his hands. And that just goes so deep in my heart, that the God who made every single thing took his hands and he made me. And then he waited and watched how I was formed. Then he knitted me together. This is the Lord I serve. And when something unexpected happens that doesn't line up with what I thought, But wait. But Jesus, he was there when he cares. Because whenever you're with somebody, whenever you take time to do something for somebody, and you do it with your whole heart, you care about that person. You know, everybody has things to do. I mean, God made the universe. He has some things to do. Yeah. But he probably has everything in motion because it's just Jesus. But so I know he cared, mm-hmm. and from that point, when you center in that you know he cares, then you're looking at him. Then more things just build on. When you look at your situation, you're just looking at that one situation, and then you get blocked.
Well, and you mentioned the cross a little bit earlier, and what an amazing thing Jesus did for us on the cross. And you know that the ancient prophets, they were trying to figure out what the Messiah would be like, and over they got the message that the Messiah would suffer and that he would die and that he would be raised to life. And Isaiah talks about Jesus not only taking our sin upon himself, but our sickness and our suffering and our pain, and the New Testament speaks of that as well. And you know, the pain that you've been through over these years, it is great that Jesus does care and that you haven't experienced any pain beyond what he's endured for you. And being in that relationship with Jesus is pretty amazing. You have a daughter. Can you tell us a little bit about her? I think she's down in Children's Church.
Yes, my little princess. My daughter's name is Miley Grace Metawala. And she is my princess, and I call her my princess wherever we go, because my kind of thinking is, you know, every little girl is a princess until she gets to be a queen. So I love my daughter. She's amazing, you know. Every child is amazing. She's very she's like a little girl, you know. She likes to play with her dolls, and she likes to do the pony thing. You know, she's all girl, but then, you know, she's also very rugged. She'll go climb a tree. She'll go play in the park for hours. She doesn't mind getting dirty. She actually exercises with our group, and we do some pretty crazy things, and amen to that. She is just awesome. She's just full of life. She misses her little brother dearly. She knows that he's missing. She knows that Jesus sees where he's at. She knows that one day we will find him. And she loves Jesus. She likes to read her Bible. She loves to worship. She loves to sing. She likes to make some songs about the Lord, and that's awesome. I'm so blessed.
Yeah. Well, can you tell us where the search for Skye stands today?
So, the case is still open. I think if Skye is still alive, I think he probably got into the wrong hands. And so the police don't tell me much, because if they tell me too much, when it does goes to trial, the defender can say, well, you know, he knew this, and it can just mess up the whole case. So I know exactly what you guys know. My peace just stands that, you know, Jesus knows what's going on. I'm gonna trust him that. As Peter said on the boat, Jesus, is that you? If it is, have me come to you. Mm-hmm. And God said, okay, come on. And Peter did it, you know. But then he got scared.
Yeah.
He looked at his situation. Thank God that, you know, sometimes, I mean, there's some evenings that I go, you know, what the, you know? But he reminds me, look at me. You know, and lately, or last week, Jesus told me that, you know, it's about me. And I like it this way. I like it as it is about him. It's not about me. It's not about... I'll be the happiest man in the world if I find him now. Mm-hmm. But for me to carry on, for me, my passion is also for people to know his love, to know his strength. My passion is that, you know, not just to know in your head about Jesus, mm-hmm. his love is to know in your heart. Yes. Because... that's where things can grow faster, yeah. and more in depth. And I want people to know how he's amazing. And I lost my thought, so let's go ahead.
Well, in the congregation, God has gifted our congregation with a strong sense of compassion and mercy. And many of the folks that are sitting in front of us today have endured some unimaginable pain. And so as you share your story, know that that we resonate with your sense of loss and your longing for Jesus to heal and restore and make right the things that are wrong. And so you are among friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. And we'd like to pray for you. Are there some ways that we can be praying for you and your family, praying for Skye?
I think the... it would be for God to just continue whatever he's doing. Because I don't want to live a life that he's not in center. A life that he's not leading, because that life is a fulfilling life. And I've lived a life where it was about me, it wasn't fulfilling at all. It was emptiness. And I've had all the bells and whistles of life, they're all gone. Only person who stays with you is God himself, and that is Jesus. And so I think that would be my prayer for you guys to just pray that whatever God wants me to do, I keep on doing, and for him to provide the strength, because there's a lot of aches that happens on this world, but Jesus has a way to cure all of them. And if I get to be one of the people who can lead other people to have some of their aches taken care of, amen.
Well, there's a passage I would like to read. Hopefully it's a passage of encouragement to you. And then I want to open it up for a time of prayer where anyone who's here, if you'd like to pray for Solomon and his family, if you'd like to pray for Sky, you know, just a brief prayer from where you're at. And after several have prayed, I'll close this in prayer in this part.
Yeah. If they want to ask a question, they can too.
Okay.
Maybe some of the aches that you're going through. Because when two people of God talk about something, you know, the Lord's in the middle, and Jesus is all about taking care of his people. And so if there's anybody who wants to make a comment or just say anything that's on their heart, please go ahead, because God is here. When? About 9 years ago, at a church, city church.
Donna.
It's okay. Hi, Princess. What's your name, Princess?
Autumn.
It's a beautiful name.
It's Princess Autumn.
Princess Autumn, yes. Sorry.
I mean, I know it's a different way, but I feel your pain.
No, it's lost is something that we don't supposed to know about, because we never supposed to be away from the Lord. But he comes in, you know, and the more we let him, I think the faster the process is of the aches, because my biggest fear was he's not here anymore, you know, and my dear friend again, kind of walked me through that, and there was lots of tears, but I was able to look at it, and I was able to pray. Okay, you know, I've looked at it. I don't want to believe it, but you will not haunt me because of that, because the enemy can use it as a tool and discourage you, but Jesus is the light, and where darkness is, when he comes, the darkness flees away. So maybe the enemy was going to use that against get these emotions, you know, up. But when you're with the Lord, when you know that he's right here, he's inside you. You can take your darkness, and you know what? My God is bigger. My God is bigger, and he's better, and he is for me and not against me. And those kind of verses, you know, I've made this book life. You know, life is, for me, getting up in the morning, putting on some worship music, having some coffee, making eggs, you know, that is life for me. Because I need that so I can open my eyes and do other things. So same as this. I've made his each word like food. And you cannot live as a Christian, especially if you believe in Jesus, and not eat this book every single day. And each letter means something. So, and each verse will mean, in one day will mean something that is going to just take your heart and just give it so much peace. And sometime it won't. But you need to go here. You need to know what this is telling you. My strength only comes because first what he did on the cross and this book. Before I even came to the Lord, I never read. Who has time to read? but I wanted to know about Jesus, you know? And it did kind of help that I was already in the book too, you know, King Solomon. So that did kind of help me read the Proverbs. So I started to read the Proverbs. And when I went through some tough times, because I read Psalms. I love Psalms, you know. And just take the moment to know God from here, because in heaven, he's going to be there in his fullness. But I think here we have a unique chance. I'm getting more of this now. It's really, really cool. I love it. Is as I go daily, you know, doing my things, you know, Jesus, let's do it together. You know? And I like to cook, so I asked for God, okay, what are we going to cook today? Can you inspire me? And, you know, and some of the things I kind of make up, so tasty. and, you know, because I know myself, you know. I don't know a lot, but I know the key thing, and that is Jesus. And with him, life is so much greater in all aspects. Don't just take Jesus for the aches and pains. Yes, that's great. But there's the whole life you can spend with him in every aspect. From, you know, finding my mom always says, how come you always get the parking spot? You know, why, how come there's always a space for you in the front, you know? And, you know, pray for everything. Pray for everything. One of my pastors said, when you start to pray for small things, as in, you know, as parking spaces or whatever small thing, when something big comes around, you know, you're doing it already. You know, it becomes more natural. You know, what is more natural than going to your father for help?
So. Do you ever cook for large groups?
I did. I made a side dish for my beautiful friend over here. She was doing a fundraiser, Angela, and that was kind of cool, yeah. I think the largest I have done is just about 10 or 12.
We could help you set a record.
Okay. you know, I love a challenge, so I'm up for it.
Any other questions or words of encouragement?
Things that touch my heart and help my
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for coming to church today.
Well, let me read this passage, and then I want to just open it up, and if you'd like to pray, you can. And after several of you have prayed, I'll close this. But this is a reading from Psalm 89, beginning in verse 14. I'm going to have to put my glasses on. This is the debut of my glasses.
Those are cool glasses.
Oh, I mean, thanks.
Very, very cool. It's very stylish. Like,
it was a 3-pack for not very much. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness. For you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shields belong to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Let's pray for Solomon and his family. And Heavenly Father, we call upon your righteousness and your justice. We call upon your holiness and your ability to strengthen and sustain. Jesus, I pray that you would be a strong fortress for Solomon, that in the darkness of night, as the enemy would want to be a discouragement, Jesus, I pray that you would be Solomon's defender, that your righteousness would protect him from behind and your strength from any attack that the enemy might have. I pray, Father, for your blessing upon Skye. And wherever he is, I pray that he would know your tight embrace, that he would know your peace, and that you would, Jesus, that you would reveal yourself to him as Savior. I pray for Solomon's family and the community of believers that surround and encourage him. And Jesus, I thank you for bringing him to us today so that he would have a glimpse of the bigger care that the Big C Church, all those who place their faith in you, the compassion and support that the church can provide. I ask, Jesus, that you would protect them on the roads as they head back to the Seattle area after the service. And Father, I pray that you would use us as agents of mercy and justice for those who are experiencing loss around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Solomon, we're glad you're here, and we want to thank you for sharing your life with us.
Welcome. Thank you.
One of the big struggles in the search for missing children is the ongoing awareness that needs to take place as children are lost and the search is, begun. And then as the search winds down, a lot of times these issues are forgotten. And so would you help in raising awareness about missing children, specifically Skye? There are some flyers we would love for you to take to keep this story in front of folks for prayer and for keeping their eyes open. And then, as I mentioned earlier in the service, late in May, there's a missing and exploited children's event that will take place at Walmart in Tumwater. Our church, the Justice and Mercy Foundation, is a part of it, along with lots of other groups. And so consider how God might use you to make a difference in the lives of parents who continue to look for their children.